Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Let's do it.
That was the longest intro ever. Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast.
Aaron's back. Woo!
I'm back in the saddle again. Anyway.
Let's leave the singing to Aerosmith.
Yeah, well, and if you listen to the interview that we had done with Laura Pena, there's a little singing going on in there, too.
I guess I'm not current on my High School Musical songs because I didn't catch any of the references.
So. She even belted out a little bit.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Anyway, how's it going? It's been a million years since we've talked.
Well, apparently you need to work on your math skills because 2.5 weeks doesn't equal a million years.
Okay. Maybe it just felt like that.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like when you go that long without talking to Scotty.
Yeah. If it feels, you know, when you don't have your weekly dose of current podcast creation, it feels like a long time has gone by.
It does. Okay, so 2.5 weeks later, here we are. Lauren Pena had a pretty awesome chat about specials, also known as electives outside of elementary school, and then the core and how they can be all in this together. Sorry, you need to watch High School Musical.
I guess I'll have to look it up. I've paused my Queen concert, and those are two different realms of musical.
So you might be a little disappointed going directly from one to the next, but I think your kiddo would like it. Your daughter would like it.
I do have a singing daughter, so
yeah. So. Anyway, so how they work together, how they can work together, and, should they work together? So I thought it was pretty interesting. I obviously only participated in a few questions, because it was paper writing time. Like it was a crazy month, Scott.
You know what happens? I mean, paper writing happens. And I thought it was interesting, too, because the genesis of this Twitter chat came from a conversation that Lauren had with somebody who sort of offhandedly made a disparaging comment about specials and are they really needed?
Yeah.
And I think it was more in the elementary school realm, but hello, yes, specials are needed. I mean, that's the trouble that we're facing in Oklahoma right now. We have decided at the policy level that they're not important, and I think that has trickled down.
Yeah, no, it's just to give kids a creative outlet, you know, that's important.
Yes, because specials can lead students into those things like music or art, and it can develop something that becomes a lifelong passion.
Well, and so I didn't say it in here, I don't think, but it wasn't until middle school I took choir. I liked singing as a kid, but I took choir and I realized I was actually okay at it. I mean, you might not be able to tell from this podcast, but but I used to get superiors, so there's that. No, if it weren't for choir, I don't know if I would have done as much singing in life, but it's something that I thoroughly enjoy, and I found it in sixth grade, so.
I mean, it's critical.
Singing?
Specials.
Okay, yes.
Singing, I mean, yes. You know, I have two daughters that sing all the time, nonstop.
Well, should we dive in?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do.
Question one, define essentials, aka specials for elementary or electives for middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of most of them in the same realm.
Right.
But definitely different answers. I went with Nancy Williams, who is at Nancy_N Williams. She said, specials help an individual become more well-rounded. It's sad that art and music were the first programs cut. We still have library, computer, PE. They are important, but our kids are missing out other ways to develop their talents. And I agree, Nancy. That's sad. I am so glad that you've got a few outlets, though.
And along with Nancy's discussion of this, I think Crescent Public Schools has done away with some music stuff because they decided that in order to meet the quote-unquote 60% of the money going to the classroom, that's how they did it. Because for whatever reason, some of those things... I could be wrong here, so if I am wrong, please correct me. I mean, but this was something that was recently published, I think through Oklahoma Watch or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it came from a reliable place. But yeah, that's the struggle right now. Hello? Yes?
Okay.
A large pizza? No, I didn't order one.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not taking that out. So silence your stuff.
It's not even my cell phone. It's my computer. That's what you get when Max and stuff talk to each other.
So I went with Aub, who is at Aubrey Noel, too. She said, a time for students to explore creative or physical interests. A time to enrich and help teach the whole child. A way to help students connect personally/uniquely to the learning process.
Love it.
It's pretty good.
It's a good one.
Question two. What are some benefits students can experience from exposure to non-core classes?
What are some benefits? How about finding passions? I mean, seriously, finding something that you're good at.
You know, and sometimes school is tough, right? Like, the actual learning part is hard.
Yeah.
And if we can find a special that we enjoy, that's a break from that, right?
Indeed.
Which can make it more tolerable to go back into the more difficult learning.
Yes. So true. I mean, sometimes, you know, having that one outlet a day for the passion is enough to get through everything else. It's like the motivation to...
Right.
Everything else. So I agree with you there. I went with Dr. Laura Searcy on this one. She said, opportunities for mind-blown understandings, that's hashtag mind-blown, understandings and exposure to concepts like creative expression, not usually covered in classes like different languages, music, art, design, and technology.
That's good. I went with Robbie Branscom, who is at Robbie Branscom. Robbie said, exposure to non-core classes allows students the opportunity to gain skills in a career field of their choosing to better prepare them for a career path outside of school.
Ooh.
Hashtag teach ag. And I think he brings a good point here. And I saw a tweet, not in the chat necessarily, but it came from, I believe it was Christy Cooper. And it was something along the lines of, we have to quit telling students they have to go to college.
Right. Like, no, and I think Claudia Swisher posted something this week on the Facebook world about how many like skills trade type jobs are sitting. I mean, it's like there's a shortage there now, too.
Right.
No, there's a teacher shortage, but there's all these trades that have a shortage because everybody is being pushed to college.
Yeah, we wrap everything into college. And you know what? I taught students that don't ever need to go to college ever. But there is a trade or there is a something that they will be good at and enjoy that doesn't require college for them to do.
Yeah. So just on that note, and I don't know if college is necessary for this or if it is a skill or trade, but like a buddy of mine out in Crooked Oak, you know, Crooked Oak?
Where that tree kind of humps over, kind of crookedy.
A little, yeah. Anyway, her father is a mortician. And there's nobody around that wants to take over that job, so that town will be morticianless when he retires.
I think that's a pretty unique skill set.
Right.
But I think there are people that are interested in that skill set.
No, definitely. But it's just one of those things. It's kind of like what happens in Crooked Oak. I guess you go to the next town over.
Oof.
Die.
And on from that morbid discussion, question three.
What non-core classes do you wish had been available when you were in school? Taylor Upchurch gave some, and I was like, whoa, yes. He said, I hate to use graphic. I hate to use your graphic, which he must have put in a graphic. I don't have a link to his tweet. Apologize there, Taylor. But forensics, creative writing, world cultures, world religions, like, yes, that would be fun to look into. And it sounds like these things are available now. I definitely know I've seen forensics and creative writing. But those would be very good classes to have under your belt. Fun classes to have under your belt.
Right. I went with Eric Justin Bates here, and he is at EJBBand21. He said, I would have killed for more access to computers, and not just typing. Mm. I think we had computer programming one when I was in high school, but they were still typing in the DOS world. So whatever those prompts were, it wasn't this cool Scratch programming business that they've got running around today.
No, the Scratch is really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't take typing or keyboarding in high school, and that is probably why I have this.
The claw! Oh,
yeah. It's not pretty to watch me type. I actually, if somebody's standing over my shoulder, I get pretty self-conscious about what it looks like.
Hey, you type how you want. I am not going to type shame you.
Okay, thank you. And so Lauren was like, she was like, why don't you just like learn now? And I really think it would make me slower, like to stop and go back and do it thoughtfully and the right way.
Maybe. Because
I've got a pretty good system now. And so I think it would make me slower.
You never know, I guess, until you try. And then and then if it makes you not slower, then you've really just messed yourself up. So now you're stuck.
Yeah. So anyway.
So question four, non-core teachers. What is something other essentials teachers understand, but you wish core teachers understand?
So that's a really good question, and I'm glad she did this, and we'll get the flip of it in a minute, but that's super important. I went with Chong Silor on this one. He didn't necessarily answer the question, but he said to all non-core teachers, remember, your subjects are what we live for. Shout out to y'all, everything y'all do.
Yes. That was a good one.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? It doesn't answer the question, but, or maybe it kind of does. What do you need to understand? We love your classes. Anyway, but that goes back to what you were saying earlier, that one subject might be, you know, what keeps that motivation going or gets them through the day.
And then Adam Rogers, who is at Mr. Rogers Tech, he said that not all elective classes are a blow off. The students work hard in these classes. And you and Lauren in the interview talked about it too, where, you know what, some electives are blow offs, but so are some core classes.
Yeah.
And there's some non-coach teachers who are blow-offs, and there's some coaches who are blow-offs. And so, you know, it's not like anybody's special. But I've seen kids do amazing things in non-core classes and just work their tushies to the bone.
Yeah, so, agreed.
So, yeah, they're not all blow-off. And that comes down to the individual teacher, you know.
Estamos aquí.
I have no idea what you guys said, other than I caught cerveza. And baño, which are two important words.
We are here for the beer.
Oh, okay. So I need to go back and listen to the interview again and practice that phrase, because that's a phrase I can hang on to.
Yeah. Question five. Core teachers, it's your turn. What's something you wish electives teachers understood about your job? That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I really like your tweet, so share it.
So Lauren Pena answered her own question. She says, the test will always be there, and the pressure is always there. I teach a core class now, and I had no idea how much stress my colleagues were under, even though they tried to explain it to me.
I think that's one of those things where until you're in that cooker, you don't get it.
No.
Like, because as teachers, we just look at each other and we go, well, you're an amazing teacher. Your kids will be fine. And then a teacher who's teaching a tested subject where all those results come out and they're used to sort of beat you about the head and shoulders with, that teacher isn't thinking that thing. I mean, I remember I've taught both of those sides, and I was always a bit more stressed out about the tested one.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you chose Becky?
Yeah, I went with Becky Maldonado, Senate 16, 2018. What? Yeah, at Team Senator Becky, actually Team Sen Becky. She said it's not just your class. They think English is a blow-off class too. And I think that comes... I just think that's sort of that battle you kind of have to fight, especially with high school students and some junior high students, middle school students. You know, they come in and they, you know, part of the journey of being a teacher is trying to convince, you're trying to sell a product that students aren't interested in a lot of times. I mean, when I taught calculus, kids didn't come in every day and they're like, yes, calculus, I'm going to learn all this. Yum, 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 yum. It was like, calculus. I like you, Mr. Hazelwood, but calculus. Yeah, and so I think Becky's hit the nail on the head here. And I even look at my own son, who I've shared before. He's not super thrilled about school. And I just wonder at what point we went wrong, because my two daughters still love it. And they're on the other end of the spectrum. You know, they're still in the elementary school stages.
Right, right.
So,
well, question six.
Yeah. So a wise duo, Troy, is it Gabriella? Gabriella? I don't know. Yep. I haven't seen this. Okay. So, Troy and Gabriella once said, we're all in this together.
No, you got to say it right.
Oh, we're all in this together.
No.
We're all in this together.
No, that's not how they said it. We're all in this together.
Okay. See, I would never have gone there. I would have been like, we're all in this together.
I think you should keep trying.
Anyways, nobody wants to hear me sing. Okay. What cross-curricular units could a core and electives teacher collaborate on? So, being most settled in a high school calculus role, physics.
Ooh.
Calculus and physics go together like peas and carrots.
Like peas and carrots.
Yeah. The other thing.
Peanut butter and jelly.
The other cool thing that I saw happen was at Edmund Memorial, and it got to be such a monster they couldn't do it, but they combined they locked down 2 hours out of the schedule, and they combined AP US History and AP English 3, because that's English 3 is American literature. And so they lined up their curriculums so that as you moved through AP US History, you looked at the literature that aligned to that specific point in time.
Okay.
Bang. So there's another one. Now, granted, that's not necessarily a core and an elective, but it's an idea of what you could do.
Right. How about, like, I merged podcasting, which is, you know, I don't know, where does that fall? Is that technology? I mean, it is technology. What would you put podcasting?
Gosh, I don't know. I liked how you talked about it in the podcast, so share that.
Okay, so we took podcasting and mixed it with social studies.
Yeah.
I've got the daughter who does podcasting, where she's just kind of talking about her week. That could easily be the listening and speaking skills for English, you know, at multimodal presentation, possibly. Anyway, so you can hit standards in all kinds of different ways.
I wonder too if, like on that one with your daughter just doing the English part, if you're learning an international language, you could write the English part in the Englishy class and then work on the translation of it in your international language class and then do your podcast in that language.
That's fabulous. I mean, that is fabulous. It's a great idea. You know, there are all kinds of ways to mix the two. I've mixed music with math. Did I tell you about, I shared the Fractions song with you that
week. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, we just learned the rules for adding and subtracting fractions, which are tricky, you know, if you're not used to it. And, you know, we made a fun song out of it. And we've done songs for science and social studies and all kinds of stuff. So definitely music is my jam as far as mixing things together.
I think there's probably a way to put together some cross-curricular, at least for a unit. You may not be able to match up a year, you know, like you could with English and history or with calculus and physics, but I think between a lot of courses you could match up at least a unit with a lot of other things.
Sure.
So, and a lot of it could go towards your English classes, because you can write on a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that you can write on.
Right.
So who'd you pick?
I picked John Bennett on this one. And it kind of goes into what we've been alluding to or you know, proposing here. He says, to be honest, I believe slicing learning into isolated courses is so barbaric. I love him. He says, I believe teachers could get together on a set of multidisciplinary driving questions, get groups, and facilitate the collaboration, and then stand back as consultants or mentors in that process. Like, John, you, Ed Reformer, you.
He said barbaric.
I know. Like, I was like, I love this tweet.
That choice of word is awesome. So I went with Kenny Ward here. Now, congratulations to Kenny. He's now a district admin person.
Wow, good job, Kenny.
So he said, I think we can say there are way more times when we collaborate on cross-curricular activities and situations where we can't. And he shouted, which is all caps, why not?
Why not?
Why not?
So what else? What's the next question?
That's yours. Question 7.
It's mine.
Because you read the odd questions.
Because I read, we're new at this. We're 74 episodes new to this.
And it's like our first one all over again.
Well, when you take a month off, maybe it's not like writing a book. Maybe podcasting is not quite like riding a bike. Classroom management is key in non-core classes. What strategies can essentials or electives teachers share with classroom teachers? That's a good question.
That's a good one.
Classroom management is key in every classroom.
Yes.
I mean, even office aid, right? You've got to have a way to manage that kiddo or a couple of kiddos. I don't know. Does office aid still exist?
I think so. I mean, the last time I dropped my kids off, the middle school kid off at middle school, there was an aide being dispatched to go something. So,
I mean, obviously, if something comes up in that office that may cross the line of FERPA, that kiddo needs to make sure that they are compartmentalized and what happens in the office stays in the office, yeah, right?
Kind of like Vegas.
Exactly. So I went with Wes Fryer here on this one, our Ed Camp planning buddy there. He says, find ways to give students meaningful choices inside and outside of your classroom. This can include how they show what they know in a particular unit. But it can also involve flexible seating arrangements in classes. Be intentional about empowering students. And I really like that. Show them that you're giving them choice, and they will come a little bit of the way with you. You know, some of them may come a really long way with you by allowing that choice.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing what technology has given us the freedom to do in this day and age. It's easier now than it was 25 years ago to offer some choices, I think, in my opinion. The one thing that I suggested here too, I remember this tweet because I had gone to see something at the elementary school. I can't remember what it was. I was in the gym with a small handful of parents. We were waiting on the thing to start. And there was a classroom of students in there. Like, I don't know. If there was 30 of them, there was 100 as far as I'm concerned, because they just multiply. They're like little rabbits, you know. And so they're just all running around everywhere and making all this noise and playing this chase game. And the little teeny tiny PE teacher with this voice that I just did not know could come from a person of such stature, yelled out. She yelled it. Who likes macaroni and cheese? And every last one of those kids running around crazy gangbusters immediately froze and responded, everybody freeze. And they didn't move again until she had given them the next instruction.
Okay, so that was her callback.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I thought I wasn't following it there for a minute, but that's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, not that you need to necessarily yell in a classroom. I don't know, maybe you do, but she had those kids right where she wanted them the whole time, and I was just looking at it as mass chaos.
Yeah.
So yeah. I learned from that one.
You know what? We had to do some observations for my supervision class.
Okay.
And I watched a teacher. I had never seen it before. He had a bunch of second graders. He was teaching a literacy class. And you know second graders. They want to shout out the answer because they know it.
Right.
He had already developed a rapport with them. So I don't know what it would have looked like, you know, first weekend or second weekend. It would have taken a lot of practice. But their hands go up in their air, and right before they start shouting out, he was like, oh, whisper it to your hand. And they would whisper their answer into their hand. And then he'd be like, all right, let's let them go. And then they would like throw their hands up and all shout at the same time what the answers were.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
And I was like, oh, that's super fun. And then I was like, oh, but everybody's calling out at the same time. Maybe he misses a kid. But he found a kid in the middle of that and was like, were you able to whisper? And she was like, mm-mm. He's like, well, let's figure this out. It was just really sweet. I really liked watching that guy and that second grade classroom.
That's a good one, whispering to your hand. I like that.
Whisper to your hand, yeah. And then let them all go.
Let them all go. That's good. Yeah. I went with Christine Teal Wesley here, and she's at Christine Teal. She said, I'm not sure if SPED is core or non-core. Either way, I want other teachers to use me as a resource. Use those accommodations. Let me know if they aren't working. We can make a great game plan to help our students succeed and your class run as smoothly as possible. Yes. And SPED is all core, right? I mean, it's everything, because those students go everywhere all the other students go. So I don't have a hard time classifying it as core or non-core. It's essential.
Right.
But you know what? But sometimes our SPED teachers have a different set of classroom management skills that they've had to develop by the nature of working with students, the types of students they work with the broad variety of learning abilities. Uh-huh. And I think that there's a lot that us normal, quote unquote normal, I don't mean that in a derogatory way, classroom teachers can get from them as far as managing a class or a particular group of students.
No, I think you're right.
Question 8, leadership. In a world of increasing accountability in reading and math and a teacher shortage, what are some ways you found to still make sure students are still able to experience essentials/electives?
That's a really good question. You know,
it takes money, right?
It takes money. And I've even seen, not necessarily about with the teacher shortage and stuff, I've seen specials be used as a punishment. Like, you don't get this done, you're going to have to finish it during PE.
Right.
You don't get this done, you don't go to art.
Right. No recess for you.
Yeah. I think that's horrible. We've got to find ways that these kids still get to experience all of this stuff. Who's that really punishing? I mean, it's punishing the student for sure, but doesn't it kind of punish you as well? Like, what are you doing during your planning period now?
Don't you turn this around on me. I'm trying to teach the student how to be responsible.
Yeah, well, and so if somebody's got info out there on that, please set me straight if I am wrong or if you see it a different way. Because again, I don't have some of these things, and so you know, I don't know best on a lot of these things. So if somebody else has info, tell me why I'm wrong there. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. So you heard it, listener.
Please tell me.
I think with this, we have to look at what's important for, like, how do we define education? So if we define education as, or how do we define the outcome of education? So if the intent and purpose of education is to develop a student who can successfully pass the standardized test, that's one thing. But if we define education in a different way, that allows us to more boldly say that these essentials and electives teachers are critical to the growth of a student.
Agree. I mean, especially the whole child.
Right. Because what it comes down to is, if you tell a school that their funding is dependent upon a certain amount of successes on a standardized test, that's where they have to put their resources, because that's where they get their money. And schools just they need the funding so badly.
Right.
That for them, it's almost like it's a hard decision. Yes, but it's basically no decision. Like, this is what we have to do.
Right.
So I think if we can change our view of what education should be from just mastering a standardized test to developing well-rounded citizens who can think creatively and contribute to society in a positive way, that's more than what a standardized test can measure, right? So that's where policy has to help us with that.
Well, and so I went with Jennifer Seitzinger on this one. She said we have to value the learner over the test score.
Fries are done.
The turkey is too. She said we have to value the learner over a test score and understand the importance of specials to the academic and social development.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where you grow, like, your amazing singers, your amazing musicians, your amazing artists, your amazing actors. Like, all of that comes out of a special. Right. Or an elective. Like, none of that comes from the classroom. I mean, the genesis could be in the classroom, but I am not equipped to teach you any of those things and grow you in that way.
Well, and I don't think just because, and Lauren said this as well, just because we're integrating music into the classroom does not mean that they're getting music.
Right.
You know, it's integrated, but there's no theory. There's no, you know, so it doesn't necessarily mean that they're getting music.
Right. Good for just you. You can sing Mary Had a Little Lamb. But
right. Just because we play trash kickball.
doesn't mean you're a hoopster.
Or that you're getting, you know, your 30 minutes of running or activity. Yeah. So
I went with Prof. Steiner, Krista Steiner, and she said Clinton hashtag CPS Reds added an AP Spanish class last year by expanding this quote unquote essential elective department. We had almost 10 students get their foot into the college door with university credits thanks to the course. Accountability can include electives.
Agreed.
Bang.
No, that's wicked awesome. Way to go. All right, well, question 9. I know we're all busy, but it means the world to our kids and coaches to see their teachers and colleagues at the games or performances. What is a really cool extracurricular activity event you got to attend last year? That's awesome. I went to some gymnastics meets. My daughter was there, but I had students there as well. I went to go see Beauty and the Beast that one of my students was in last year. Like, you know, they really like seeing you there.
They love it. I still do the public announcing at Edmond Memorial High School football games. So I go to all of those.
And they like seeing you, don't they?
Yeah, it's just fun. And I go watch my kids' performances. You know, I've got a young man who plays the bassoon and he's very good at it. And they're in eighth grade now. So he's been playing music since he was 5 or 6 on the piano. And then he went to clarinets and now he's playing bassoon. I absolutely I enjoyed his eighth grade music so much because now they're playing these more complex pieces of music that last longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're just the breadth and depth and the tempo and the thing. And I loved that more, way more than I ever thought I would. Like, I knew I would love it because my kiddo was in it, but gosh, just seeing how all that magic happened.
No, for sure. I went with a Dina Rogers tweet here. She says, I have attended all the home athletic events. My school needed an athletic facilitator. I have never coached. So I filled the gap for 3 years. Students work harder for those extracurricular activities than anything else, and they love seeing us there.
Yeah. Golf clap to Dina Rogers, who is now a principal. So, yeah. You know, so very polite, non-microphone breaking clap. So I went with Todd Gregg at Mr. Gregg. He said, I would be at everything if I could make it work easily with 3 children aged 7 and under of my own. My favorite event, though, was our year-end awards night, and seeing my students getting honored for their vast abilities was rewarding.
That's fun.
So question 10, give a shout out to an essentials teacher either in your building or who taught you some of those great lessons mentioned in question 2. And so scrolling through there, I just said, well, it's just impossible to pick only one. And I was able to get into our template first and fill out, you know, my tweets. And Aaron came back with.
Yep.
So if you want to have some warm fuzzies, you search Q10 for this chat. And just scroll through and see the love thrown at our specials teachers. It was really great.
Well, give us your boom sauce.
So my boom sauce tweet of the night came from Aubrey Noel 2, Aub, and she said, yes, let them be good at something. Let them feel that, and please don't take it from them as their punishment. And this is when we were talking about, you know, the need for an essentials class. And like you mentioned just a couple minutes ago. You know, who are we punishing? And I'm just as guilty.
Well,
band isn't important to you. I need you to finish this test. You know, yeah. I mean, we've all been there. Proud to say it happened early on before I became wise and seasoned and good, better at education.
Well, sorry, I was throwing shade at you. And
no, you weren't throwing shade.
But was out there for doing that before.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have complex feelings on all this because sometimes I get that. I'm sorry. You have to finish the thing. Like, I know whatever's next, but you have to finish the thing before you can leave here.
Yeah.
And that can be tough, but to intentionally put it out there, I don't think I ever intentionally said I need you from band, unless it was a situation where, I think if band took one of my kids for something and like I needed the student that day, then it was a quid pro quo. Like, all right, then I need that back next week. Like, we'll make this trade.
Right.
But I think I've caused some students to be late, but not an intentional, well, you only have X and such next.
Well, this was a really fun chat.
Yeah, it was a good one.
We've got legislative update next.
Yes.
With Sean Heim.
Right.
And it's actually already happened. Sorry, you people who are listening and hoping to tune in.
But you can still go back and review it. And we'll talk about it next.
So if you do want to join in on these Twitter chats, they happen on Sunday nights, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Right.
And just because it says Oklahoma, it doesn't mean you have to be from Oklahoma.
We're bad. We're nationwide.
We are nationwide.
So.
All right.
All right.
Go.
All right, educators, go out and dominate the world, because we're all in this together. Woohoo!
And let me turn off Queen. I managed to find their Live in Wembley full concert video, which is not on YouTube right now. So, or at least not on YouTube in the United States.
Have you seen the trailer for the movie coming out?
Yes. And I want to go, and so do all my kids. And they don't know who Queen is, but they're like, that music.
Yes, that music, right?
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Figaro,
Magnifico.
I'm just a poor boy and nobody loves
me. Only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.